Hello, hello. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the pod. Welcome to the Cure for Chronic Pain with Nicole Sachs, LCSW. That is me, still me, still here. And I am really excited to share what I have to share today. My wonderful interview with Athena Allred, who is a modern day shaman, which some people might not even know what a shaman is. I don't think I really knew what a shaman was before I met Athena. And she really helped me understand how I could relate to somebody's definition of a shaman. So that's something we're going to talk about today, because my retreat at Omega, where Athena will be a co-instructor, one of the people coming to help bring a full, rich mind-body-spirit experience to everyone who joins us, my retreat is something that I have been getting a lot of questions about. And one of the questions I've been getting is, you know, Nicole, you keep saying something about mind, body, spirit and bringing people that are going to work with energy and work with, I don't even know exactly the language I've been using, but something I've been saying has been getting a couple questions saying stuff like, you know, I am a scientific mind. I am not a God person. Is this going to be too weird? Is this going to be too hippy-dippy? And I, it's kind of funny to me almost, because I grew up for the first at least 30 years of my life a complete avowed atheist, not because I hated religion by any means, just because I was brought up with none of it. And you only know what you know. You only know what you're taught. And I was not taught to think religious people were wrong. I was taught that that wasn't for me. That wasn't available to me. I'm Jewish culturally, very culturally Jewish, very proud of my heritage. My grandfather was in a work camp in Germany, you know, or Poland. I understand during the Holocaust. I am very aligned with my Jewish traditions, but we never went to temple. You know, I didn't have any affiliation with organized religion. So growing up, and my parents were both super mega intellectuals, you know, their religion was the nightly news in the New York Times. You know, I mean, I was not raised with any spiritual belief at all. And so I really empathize with people that are concerned that that there will be too much woo-woo, wah-wah, spiritual, whatever. And forget just my Omega retreat, because that's just 1 week of the life that we all live. But it's just in the world of healing, in the world of mind-body medicine. Like, is this too much spirit for me? Is this too much? Whatever. And I totally get that. And so bringing Athena along was a very mindful decision I made, because she is so amazing at bridging the gap between people who are skeptical about spiritual practice and also people who are incredibly enthusiastic about spiritual practice. She really stands with one foot in both worlds and is so good at explaining to people how this mind-body work that I do can complement a spiritual practice, however that makes sense to you. I mean, she's just brilliant at it. She's brought me so far in my own understanding of spirituality. So a little bit about my spiritual journey. I don't think I had any, and I have to qualify this. When I say the word God, I don't want to trigger anyone on either end of the pond. When I say the word God, I am not referring to any organized religion. And if you are a member of an organized religion that brings you love, joy, and peace, I'm so happy for you, and you are so welcome. And if you are a person who has no religion and really feels that there is no God, maybe you're an existentialist, you were born from nothing, we die into nothing, you are welcome too. I have been both. I am all. But I do use the word God just because it's like an easy placeholder. Sometimes I substitute it with energy or the universe, but any case, I just feel the need to say that, because in a million years, I never want anyone alienated, because I could have been so alienated from this in my previous life, in the first 30 years of my life. If I heard the word God, I was like, oh wait, this is like a religious thing. And I would have stepped out. And I also know on the flip side, some people feel like if we're not really talking about religion the way they feel like we should, they'll step out. So I just want to, you know, you can't satisfy everyone, but I'm hoping to explain that the fact that the subject of this podcast is spirituality, I really hope that everyone can identify in instead of identify out. So a little bit about my spiritual journey is that, like I said, I was raised in the suburbs of New York City, and I did not have any religion. My friends were pretty evenly divided between Christian slash Catholic and Jewish. Just that's the area that I was raised. So I knew kids that went to CCD, and I knew kids that went to Hebrew school, and my parents just did nothing. And that was their choice. And you know, I'm not choosing that. My children do go to Hebrew school, and that's my choice. But when I was growing up, I had no religion, and also my parents never discussed spiritual matters. It just, my mom is, I would imagine my mom identifies as an atheist. My father passed away when I was 27, and I'm an only child, so I was kind of on my own to figure this stuff out. And so as I grew up, it pretty much never occurred to me. And I was wildly self-sufficient. I figured I'm the only one in the world that can solve my problems. I never felt that there was an energy out there supporting me or anything like that. And so I have to be honest, it was hard. I felt really alone. I don't think I knew I felt alone, but I did. I felt alone, and I felt like if I needed help, it meant that I had to humble myself to ask help from another human. I didn't feel like the universe was an energy that I could tap into. I didn't feel like, I don't know, I just didn't feel like that was a possibility for me. So when my father died, I was 27 years old. And listen, we all have our beliefs around whether there are, you know, spirit after this lifetime, or if we live past lives. You know, we all have different beliefs and feelings around that. My feeling was definitely that that did not exist. I was terrified of death, and I thought that when you die, that's it. And I can just speak from the only experience I've got, which is mine, that when my father died, weird stuff started happening, and it wasn't coincidence. It was a feeling attached to events where I just felt like he was trying to get my attention. And my dad and I had a very conflicted relationship. I won't call it tumultuous. There was a lot of conflict. He loved me wildly and he criticized me wildly. And I was very confused between resenting him deeply for the person that he felt that I needed to be and wanting desperately to have his approval. And it was real, it's been like a real shaping, guiding force in my life, this evolving relationship with the energy of my father, because it lives in me. You know, whether I believe that he's still around trying to look after me or he's not, his energy lives in me, just like all of our energy lives in us from whatever happened in our upbringings with our parents and our caregivers. And so when these things started happening, I started paying attention because it was just too uncanny. And, you know, I'm sure if you're at all interested, when I do have this amazing forum of a week to spend with you guys, whomever joins me at Omega, we will tell these stories. We will share stories of like these weird synchronicities, coincidences, as Athena mentions in our interview, nudges that let, I just said that like such a New Yorker, nudges or nudges, as the beautiful Athena says it, that influence us, that make us take notice, that make us pay attention. And oh God, my dad, dude, that man did some weird stuff since he died, and also some really beautiful stuff, and also some stuff that allowed me to release a ton of emotion and repression. And I, you know, I live a free life, mind, body, and spirit. I am free. I'm free of pain. I'm free of chronic pain, of course. Regular human pain is part of my journey. It's part of all of our journey to keep waking up. But anyway, so my spirituality started to, the seeds of it were sown with my dad, alerting me that there was more to this life than just this physical life that I was leading, and I started to believe it. And And then starting to be a seeker, starting to study ancient spirituality, Buddhism, mystic poetry, certain teachers that spoke to me. And then further along in my journey, seeking out people like Athena, you know, being excited rather than turned off by the word shaman and saying, wonder what she has to teach me, sort of entering into that spiritual journey or curiosity with openness, with insight, with a spark rather than cynicism. And when that started happening for me, I really started to get more whole. I really did. You know, I can only speak for myself, but I started to get more whole. I think that my journey that you could connect to my TMS recovery, which of course started long before I was 30, it started when I was 19, my TMS journey was sort of rocketed into the fourth dimension. I just really started to get it, and things were falling into place like bam, bam, bam. And so because of this, I sought to bring a person like Athena with me to Omega, because wherever you are on the spectrum of that spiritual awakening, she is able to speak to you. I have never in my life met a person that embodies pure love like Athena. She is love. It's so crazy to be around her. You can just feel the energy come off of her. And quite frankly, I really think that it all comes down to love in this universe. I think what we're seeking, that peace and that love, is all already right there. And our only work is to clear out that static, that dust, as Athena calls it, between ourselves and that love, which is already right there. And when that love starts penetrating your heart and your spirit and your experience, you heal in ways that you didn't even know you needed to heal. And that's what I have experienced, knowing her and knowing people like her and opening myself up to my higher power, my energy, my connectedness to all that is human. You know, I took Blue on a long walk this morning. It's a beautiful day out today on the East Coast. And I was thinking, like, wow, why do I do this podcast? Like, why do I do this podcast? I make zero money for it. It costs me pretty much a lot of money in terms of all the stuff that it takes to make a podcast, the equipment, the hosting fees. Why do I do this podcast? And I knew very deeply. I was trying to find words for why I do this podcast. Why I do this podcast, because my religion, if there is a name for my religion, it is the beauty and the possibilities and the energy of human connectedness. And this is a forum where I can speak. I can say anything I think, feel, or want, and it's going to get out there and it's going to land somewhere. And I'm sure for some people, they will shut this off and be like, dude, I cannot even listen to that girl. She's so whatever, out there, or on the wrong track or off base. But for at least some of you guys, it's going to land right in your heart, and you're going to know you're not alone, and you're going to know that we are all just trudging this road together, and it is a beautiful thing. And I really believe that. And so that's why I do this podcast, because my goal in this work that I'm doing, in this work that you hear about when I write or in my lessons or my course or, you know, whatever, when I try to tell everyone, come to Omega, this is going to be amazing, all this stuff you hear me say, my work is to inform, in my opinion and in my goal, every person on the planet that this is possible, right? That this is available to them. I am sure a great percentage of those people would say, no, thank you. And I would say, fine, that works for me, as long as people know it is available. Because I can't tell you how many people that just cry to me and say, I cannot believe I didn't even know this was available. And now that I do, my life is a completely new life. I am literally free. When I was in chains and I didn't even know that this was possible. So my goal is that everyone at least hears it's possible. And once they do, they can take what they want and leave the rest. And so that's, I feel very passionately about that. So I want to say a couple things about this interview with Athena. The first is, I'm such a goddamn perfectionist that I need to say this to you, even though I don't want you to be ruled by your perfectionism, and I am working on that. The quality, the sound quality of this podcast is not what I wanted it to be, because we were in Athena's studio, which is hardwood floors, and we also sat back from the microphone. I only own one microphone, and it's just like sort of a simple setup. And so it's kind of a little echoey, and it's not the most amazing quality, so I apologize for that. However, the message of the podcast comes through, and I hope Athena's beauty and her energy and her love comes through. And if you choose to join us at Omega, she will be there with me all week, along with other amazing guest instructors. And you know, it. Although of course the entire retreat will be centered around my work and doing it in real time and learning and growing, it is also going to be just building on that work with the other tools in your toolbox, giving you a really rich, huge, large toolbox to carry with you when you leave. And one of them, I believe, is just an insight into how you can have a spiritual life in whatever way that makes sense to you, even if it just means self-love and nothing outside of yourself. That is fine. To me, that is still a huge win. So I'm gonna share this interview that I did with Athena. I'm very proud to know her and to bring her message to anyone and everyone listening here. Just a couple of little notes. If you're looking to learn more about any of my work, please go to thecureforchronicpain.com. You can sign up for the first lesson of my course free on the homepage, and you can click on the resources tab, which connects to everything I do, my online course, my YouTube channel, my Journal Speak page on Facebook, closed group, Journal Speak with Nicole Sachs, LCSW. Join us on Facebook. And heal, because it is the most amazing community. When I go on the page and see the way everyone is supporting each other, I always cry, literally every time I cry, because it's so beautiful the way complete strangers are just there supporting and loving one another. And please follow me on Instagram. My Instagram is starting to gain a lot of momentum, and I'm able to share a lot of wisdom and messages there, just like kind of as I go along. So at NJ Sachs at Instagram, please follow me there. And also, lastly, if you're enjoying this podcast, please just rate and review it on iTunes if you haven't yet, because it's really, really helpful to me. I sometimes forget to ask, and when I forget to ask, nobody does. And I know it's so annoying to take a moment and do stuff like that. I really actually think it's annoying. But if you would please just be uncomfortable for 1 minute and go and do it for me, that would be a serious favor. Thank you. I appreciate it. Okay, my friends, I send you love, I send you light, and on this beautiful day, I send you Athena. Hi, everybody. So I'm here today with Athena Allred, and she is going to be one of my guest instructors at Omega. And I have had a long, beautiful, long, like, 2 year long, beautiful history with Athena, personally and professionally. And I wanted to bring her on the podcast today because I want her to say in her own words, so people can hear from her mind, body, and spirit, what her work is and how it complements the work that I do and what we will be doing together at Omega. So Athena, I will just throw it right over to you and say, how do you feel that your work combines with mine, complements mine, and what do you feel that you're going to be bringing to Omega this summer?
Ooh, okay. So I guess first off, you're going to be helping others to understand how we've worked together, me as a shaman. So just starting with that, I like to explain what the shaman is for those who don't know. So sometimes when we're new to this world, we come in a little bit apprehensive,
right?
Which is good and healthy, and I did as well. It took me getting to that point of believing that there was no other way to go to a shaman.
And that makes sense actually for chronic pain recovery, because a lot of people who go into mind-body medicine have tried all the Western medicine and realize that there's no other way. And then when they open themselves up to this, they start to heal.
Exactly. So I couldn't tell you how many people I have come in here and climb on my table who have taken the drugs and done the therapy and had the surgery done. Mm-hmm. And once they've had the surgery done is usually when they feel, okay, this is hopeless. So mm-hmm. I can't go on like this. Either they feel like they're ready to end it all. And right. some reach that point where they literally feel completely depressed and yeah. like they're ready to end it all. So then they're then diagnosed with depression
right.
or anxiety or whatever it is. So that sense of hopelessness. And they come here and they're guided here either by a friend, a family member. Most people are guided by someone they know and love and trust. Mm-hmm. Some are guided here by their doctor.
Right.
Some are guided here by their therapist. Mm-hmm. And these are wonderful people who recognize the benefit of the holistic approach and know their limits. Mm-hmm. And that's important for us all as practitioners to know our limits. So I know mine.
Right.
and I think that's how I answer the question of how I complement what you do.
So first, you started something, and I think it's important. Define for people, what is a shaman?
Ah, yeah.
Yes.
yeah, that's what, in the beginning, I was like, should I?
Yeah.
Should I? Well, okay.
Define it, because, I mean, listen, you do a lot of things. You do energy work,
right.
and you do spiritual counseling.
Mm-hmm.
But what is it that you would say defines a shaman?
Yeah. So across time, the shaman is recognized as one who works with the spirit world or realms on behalf of others.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important for those who are new to this, you know, the pragmatists,
mm-hmm.
to really understand and define for yourself what spirit means.
Mm-hmm.
If you feel like you don't know, but then you feel curious and inspired or guided to go see a shaman, then they might be able to help you define what spirit is for yourself.
Right.
So everyone who sees me knows that I'm not of any particular religious background.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't chosen a religion. There's some philosophies that I really love and identify with, and I find a lot of truths, because there's not one truth
right.
in them. And I would say Buddhism is one that mm-hmm. I really, really connect strongly with. But with that said, because I'm working with the spirit world in a very broad way, I identify with helpers that are of all religious backgrounds. So I could have a client that's a Christian, and I could have a client that is a Buddhist and one that's an atheist. And depending on where their spiritual...
I'm a Jew.
You're a Jew.
Hands up for Jews.
I'm all about those Kabbalistic beliefs, right?
Yeah.
So those... Talk about a set of truths. Yeah, we mm-hmm. could totally do a whole podcast on those. I'd love to. But with that said, you know, all of my clients from whatever backgrounds, they might have their own understanding of what spirit is, what their own spirit is. You know, for an atheist per se, I'm going to speak to the atheists today, yeah. I
Good.
Think.
Good, because I want no one to be excluded.
Exactly.
Because if you're a big spiritual person, you're going to hear this podcast and you're going to be all in.
Exactly.
It's the atheists that are mm-hmm. going to be like, I don't know if I'm invited here.
Mm-hmm.
So great.
Exactly. I just
atheists.
Feel that. I do, because I think, you know, in our group, and in your groups, you might find that there's a higher concentration of those who don't know what they believe in. And mm-hmm. those are the ones who are struggling the most with recovery.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say recovery, recovery is big and broad, right? We
yeah.
know. Recovery from addiction, pain, whatever it is. It's more difficult to recover if you don't know what you believe in or if you don't believe in anything.
Yeah.
So for the atheist who comes to me, or the pragmatist like I had today, a pragmatist who he climbed on my table and he let me know. And we looked into his body before he said anything. His body told me he doesn't believe I have the power to heal.
So he didn't believe in his own power. So he wasn't saying, I don't believe in you. He was saying,
He didn't know.
But you heard his body saying, I don't believe I have the power to heal myself.
Yes.
Wow.
But here's the thing, too. He said a beautiful thing. He said he shared about his father at the end of the session, and his father was a big believer in mind over matter.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, actually, when you say that, what I feel is, yes, you know, that is powerful, mind over matter. Mind is more powerful over matter. But what we want is a two-way communication between the mind and the matter. And in this case, your body is the matter.
Mm-hmm.
Your body is the three-dimensional physical matter that we speak of. So if the mind is not communicating with the matter is withering away in pain.
Right.
Okay, and it's the matter, fortunately, speaks to shamans. Yeah. So as a shaman, I do speak with the bodies. I speak with a lot of different, we'll just say, things. Mm-hmm. So I'll say, you know, we were laughing in the room the other day. My kids make fun of me for this. The plants speak to me.
Right.
Right? So they're like, okay, Mom, the plants are, right? And I say, you know, they do. They tell me stories. They tell me what you did. Watch out, right? And the crystals speak to me. So if someone's on the table and the crystal's in the box, they feel that person's energy. They feel where they're needed, where they're called to, and they speak to me. There's a lot of scientific information about how the crystals work on a frequency level. Mm-hmm. And I love to speak to kind of those who are open but not sure about how that works.
Right.
Today's
Bring
not
the
about
science.
The crystals,
Bring
but
the science. Yeah.
Totally, because there's a lot of science to support it. And I myself, as spiritual as I am, I would say I'm also a pragmatist in a way, and I question everything. And it's just, I say it's being discerning.
Yeah.
So you can be open and discerning at the same time. So that's a word of encouragement. If I could give any word of encouragement today from the spirit world for those listening, it would be open and discerning.
Be open and discerning. So if I was Oprah, I'd say, tweetable moment! Be right. open. Well, because I think that's so great. Because, you know, I talk about this sometimes, that before I opened myself to this work, I was definitely an atheist. I would, because I mean, the definition of an atheist is you think there can be proof there is no God.
Hmm.
And when I say God, please know you can just factor in whatever you think. Mm-hmm. Spirit, universe, energy, you know, because
Your own heart.
Mm-hmm. I don't subscribe to any God that I was ever taught in a religious doctrine. For me, God is whatever it is that defines the connectedness among us all. And most of it is just love.
Right.
Right. So, however, I had none of that. I just thought I was alone in the universe. Mm-hmm. And it was up to me to be wildly self-sufficient and do everything myself. And that's when I was in tremendous chronic pain.
Mm-hmm.
And so opening myself up to all of this has been a gift that goes far beyond the pain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I often say that the pain is the biggest, littlest part. It gets you through the door, right? Mm-hmm. So the pain invites you to a precipice where a truth is awaiting your acknowledgement.
Mm-hmm.
And once you're there and you open yourself to it, so much is possible.
Exactly.
So as a shaman, working with people who range from declared atheists to pragmatists to people who are super
devout Christians,
people super, super just spiritualist kind of people, How do you work with them to help them move forward in their journey?
First, I feel really strongly guided to just back on the emphasis of the staying open and discerning piece. For those who are listening, that message is for you also in regards to your physicians. Okay, so in regards to your work with any type of healer, and a physician is a type of a healer as well. Okay, we're all here, therapists, shamans, physicians, surgeons, all here to help you heal.
Right.
We're also all very human.
Mm-hmm.
Some are more connected to you, right? Your own energy, your past, etc., right? Than you might even be. And that's important for you to know. We won't go too far into that, but that felt important. But for you to be discerning, I had a client in here a week ago who, you know, all of the doctors are telling her that she needs to do a surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And in her heart of hearts, she really feels that she doesn't need to do the surgery. And I didn't know that she was grappling with this question. I had no idea. But she climbs on my table. And we did our work, and she's in severe pain, and I can see it in her body.
Mm-hmm.
And her spirit guides, which, again, you don't have to believe in them, but the validation shows up when you ask for it. And that's the discerning piece. Ask. Just ask. So they were saying to me, to say to her, you don't need the surgery.
Mm.
And so I
said, that was confirming her own intuition.
Yes. Her own intuition. And so the encouragement for her was to be discerning when in the face of authority figures who you might feel oh, I should trust this person. They're a doctor, they're a physician, they're my mom. Your mom might tell you to do something. And,
of course.
You know, you might say, no way, mom.
Right.
But if a doctor tells you to do it, and this is not a poo-poo on doctors because I love them, and there are clients that come in and I tell them you do need the surgery.
Right.
So it's not, I'm not against surgery. But I am very much in support of being discerning and listening to your own inner guidance.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you feel inside, no, I don't feel strongly guided to do this surgery, or you're sitting in front of the pill bottle, and I know there's someone listening who this is you, you're holding the pill bottle in your hand and you start to feel sick to your stomach at the thought of taking those pills, but you don't know any other way.
Right.
Okay, so for you, standing with that bottle in your hand, really feeling like, I don't want to take this, but I don't know any other way, just ask. If you put the question out there and you open up, okay, that's the piece that's missing, you're going to allow for insight. We can call it miracles. We can call it coincidences. We can call it whatever we want. There's another word
I heard. Whispers. I love the whispers. Ooh, whispers from the universe. Whispers. Just like an idea you get and you're like, that just feels right.
Yeah. But I'm thinking of those people that like don't really believe in that. You know, the people that are, their beliefs have been squashed.
That's more like a coincidence.
Yeah.
Like you can't imagine. Why did that person walk in the door?
Yeah.
Was just needing, right.
Yeah. Moment. So I wish I could remember the word that I heard the other day that was like, it was the same as coincidences. Anyway, I'm a word person. I love when alternate words show up. Oh, that's a good word. I'm going to, probably because I'm a writer. But anyway, for you who doesn't know what you believe or just doesn't flat out believe, you're like, screw this. Like, nothing's going to work. I'm going to be in pain forever. But you're feeling it. You're feeling sick to your stomach when you look at the pills. Just open up. Open up and allow for coincidences, synchronicities, whispers, miracles, whatever it is.
Synchronicity, is that the
synchronicity
word?
Synchronicity, it wasn't like that one.
No,
well,
different one.
It was a different one. Oh, I know.
It'll come.
Yeah, it'll come. It'll come. It was a good one, too. allow for those to show up and pay attention. And that's like one of the biggest things that I teach all day long, every day, is pay attention. Okay? That's why I'm good at what I do, because I pay attention.
Because you pay attention. And I think, you know what I have to say? Okay, so I'm telling like a 2-minute story. I was driving here, okay, and Athena is like sought after in our community, so she's a busy lady. And so she texted me and she said, because we had a 1:15 appointment, she said, can you do 2? And I said, yes, because I could do 2. And so I didn't really have anywhere to be for like 45 minutes. So I drove to the post office and I sent some Omega flyers to a physician in New Jersey who said he wanted to put them up. And then I still had like a half hour. So I just decided to drive.
Yeah.
I just decided to drive. And where I found myself was Walgreens. Okay. Straight up. First we began.
I do that all the time.
And I had to pee. So I was like, I'm going to go into Walgreens and pee. And then I'm going to see why I'm in Walgreens. Okay.
Yeah.
So then I'm walking through Walgreens. And I remembered that Izzy, my oldest daughter, who's always coming into my room at 6:30 in the morning to get a makeup wipe because she needed makeup wipes. And I'm like, I know why I'm in Walgreens. I need to buy Izzy her makeup wipes and her deodorant because she lost her deodorant. And shout out to mothers of 16-year-old daughters. Oh, my God. The patience it takes with all the stuff they lose. So then I realized, okay, I'm going to buy that stuff for Izzy, which I did.
Mm.
And then I got back in the car and I still had like a half hour. So I drove and almost immediately I realized that I have a friend who works right around the corner from Walgreens who I really needed to see and connect with. And I walked in and she was behind her desk at her office and we had the most beautiful moment. Mm. And I know it's because I pay attention.
Yes.
Because I just open myself up to the journey. It's a half hour of my life. It's, you know, nothing needed to get done. And I had this great moment with my friend that I feel like is going to lead to other things that we both need.
Mm.
And so I just think paying attention, it's like, it's an undervalued thing.
Mm.
Right?
It's, yeah, an undervalued superpower.
Yes.
It's a superpower.
It is.
And you can cultivate it, you know, It's totally a superpower. So one of the words, and this could have been the word that kept coming, but the word that keeps coming to me is nudges. Mm-hmm. And the nudges piece is what comes right before the synchronicity or right before the coincidence. So listening to those nudges. So you don't have to believe in miracles or anything of the sort, but you know when you feel a nudge to do something, right? So this is like outside of any kind of spirit speak. This is like just... in my world, and we can giggle about this, you know, whoever you are that's listening that doesn't believe, but in my world, we call that my spirit guide told me to do X, Y, and Z, right? But we don't have to call it that. We can just say like, oh, I felt this nudge to go to Walgreens, right? Like me, my kids make fun of me for this. I'd be like, oh, my guides told me to go to Walgreens, right? And so it's, you know, just think of it as a nudge. But what's going to happen is, when you decide, because this is a decision you make, I'm holding this bottle of pills and I'm in pain, but the thought of taking them makes me sick. And I know I'm repeating myself, but I do that for reasons. And I'm going to say in my mind, you know what? I'm making a decision right now. I don't want to take these anymore. And I'm going to open up to other opportunities to heal myself or to get rid of this pain. I'm going to open up to whatever else is presented to me, mm-hmm. right? Just kind of opening up.
Right.
All right. And with that, you might feel a nudge almost instantly to go step into your living room, get on your couch, and turn on your TV.
Right.
Listen to it. Mm-hmm. Okay. You might be guided or feel a nudge to just turn on a random show on Netflix.
Right.
Just do it, right? And when you're watching that random show on Netflix, you might get halfway through the movie and ask yourself, why am I watching this movie? Mm-hmm. But then as you get 2/3 of the way through the movie, the light bulb will go off.
Right. Like a character will say something like, you know, I had an idea that if I did this thing differently, that mm-hmm. I might feel or something, mm-hmm. you know, you don't know.
Right. Or your dad might pop into your mind, you know, that character, you might get 2/3 of the way through the movie and that character might forgive their father for something awful that's happened in the movie. And it might inspire you to start to question your relationship with your own father. Right? So that might be the first step. We don't know.
We don't know.
Just be open.
And pay attention.
Pay attention. Every day, just being open, paying attention. Don't shoot it down. Don't push it down. With the chronic pain piece, a lot of this is pushed down energy. And I'm going to use the word energy because there ain't no other word. Yeah. It's like saying, like, use another word for dust.
Right.
Well,
no, and listen.
I don't have another word for dust.
But when you say the word energy, Athena, yes. People, even if you're an atheist, a scientist, a pragmatist, Einstein taught us that we are 99.whatever%
it's
energy.
Measurable.
There, you know, we. I think that what's so hard is when we use these words, it's so easy to dismiss them as woo-woo or, you know, but literally it's full-on science.
That's the word.
We think we are matter. We think we are solid. We are just energy, mm-hmm. and any scientist will agree with that. So,
Correct. So
please do use the word energy.
Yeah. I mean, literally, there's no other word, you know. And I'll just share briefly. I see energy. Okay, mm-hmm. Not everybody does, and that's okay. Not everybody has to, right? Not everybody has to know how to dissect your heart or perform an open heart surgery, right? So it's fine. We all have our skills,
gifts.
Our gifts. So one of mine is seeing energy. So what it literally looks like for me is dust, right? Oh. So when I say there's no other word for dust, they're literally, I don't know. Do you know another word for dust?
Because no,
that's
don't.
Just what it is.
It is.
It's the same for energy. So I can see it around a person, in their body, in their life. We can move that energy. There's a lot with energy. It can be measured. So there's devices now that measure frequencies in the body, mm-hmm. around the body.
The Heart Math Institute does that.
Totally. Yeah. Right. So yeah, look that up, everyone.
Heart Math.
They're amazing.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan. So these kind of things can be measured and proven. And I love to test what I see to what can be measured mm-hmm. with some device or camera or whatever, yeah. right? So I can say to someone, oh, I see your aura. It's these colors, you know, it's around your body, it's these colors. And then one of my favorite stories in my teen class, one of my teens, she asked, what do you see with my aura? And I said, oh, you know, I see like this blue and a little pocket of purple here and a little bit of pink around. And I explained. And then she came back and her grandmother treated her to an aura photograph uh-huh. In Florida, actually. And she brought it back and it was what I saw.
Wow.
Right? So it was pretty cool. It's pretty cool. And it said, you know, I can ask the question just directly or tune into the feeling of that energy. Like, what does this pink mean? What is this purple, this blue, et cetera? And this is just aura, but aura is not it, guys. Right. Okay. So there's energy all up in your body. but I can tune into what is this here?
Right.
Where did this come from? And then we can do that work. So for someone in their body, I might see an area of concentrated energy in their, what would I call this? Like upper left groin, right? Okay. Right here. Yeah, that's what I'll call it. And I might tune into that energy, and that same person that was guided to go watch a Netflix movie and get a little bit of insight onto forgiveness, I might see in that part of their body their dad. Mm. And I might feel the sadness and the sickness and the unforgiveness that's in the body. And then our work might be to really work to break up that energy, right, which has formed and created maybe a mass. And it might just be at this point, just an energetic mass,
yeah.
Right? But when it becomes a physical mass, usually it's cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So they start as energetic, and yes. then they, over time, become physical, and that's yeah. when we see cancer.
And Athena, that is so, it's so profound to me, because I never claim that my work can cure cancer. But I'll tell you what I really do claim with my whole heart. Doing this work before you get cancer can prevent cancer. And I have people who have come to me with breast cancer and they say, I need to tell you something and I feel ashamed to say it. And I say, what? And they said, I feel like I gave myself this cancer. And I said, okay, well, let's reframe it mm-hmm. because it doesn't help to have shame or blame or regret. But let's talk about what it was like.
Mm.
Let's talk about what brought you to say that to me.
Mm.
And they just know what they've been repressing and they know what they haven't been open to. And, you know, listen, there's no way to know how many people who have done my work that just didn't get cancer. Mm. There's no way to know. But I just have to say, when you said that, like, mm-hmm. I just believe that.
Mm-hmm. It's so true.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, with the person who believes that they give themselves cancer, you know, I immediately have a question. I always ask the questions in the mind. The question, if you gave yourself cancer, then can yourself give it back mm-hmm. so that you can let it go, bury
right.
it, send it somewhere, hand it over to whoever, whatever you believe in. And yes, cancer is not irreversible. So those of you that are listening that also might have been recently diagnosed with some, I'm going to use the word minor form of cancer because I feel like the minor is going to be the group listening. if you've been diagnosed with a minor form of cancer, first tell yourself, okay, this is a minor form of cancer and it is not irreversible. It is curable. Okay, so just tell yourself that first. That's the decision make. That's the decision point.
Mm-hmm.
Then you start using the tools that we provide
mm-hmm.
And the tools that you're guided to, because it's not just us. You know, you step into my room and we're working. I'm sharing. We're uncovering tools that are going to help you when you step out of my room. And then when you step out of my room, so much more magic happens. I love hearing from people like, oh my God, when I left, like I saw this, or this thing came in the mail, or this person came into my life, or, you know, I was at the grocery. I met. So the, and I'm going to use the word magic too, because I use it, but the magic
is my favorite word.
Yeah. So it's my favorite word too.
I don't apologize yeah, for using magic, because yeah. magic comes in all forms.
I'm going to use it. It's going to happen. It's because you opened yourself up to allow for it to happen. And it's a choice you make. You can make the choice of the decision, you know, no, I don't want to believe in magic.
Right.
Well, that's no fun.
And also, you know, I have a little sign, a wooden sign above my stove in my kitchen. And I can't quote it directly, but it's a quote from Willy Wonka.
Mm.
And it's something along the lines of, those who don't believe in magic will never find it.
Oh, exactly.
I know.
Yeah.
So I'll get a photo of that and I'll put it up somewhere.
I know. I feel bad I just said that's no fun because that was kind of mean, but I don't mean that in
no,
a mean
and
way.
Listen, everybody can be open. Just believing in magic is just a choice.
Yeah, it's totally
a
choice.
Just play with it and be like, you know what? I'm believing in magic for the next day. Let's just see what happens.
I'm looking for it. I like that. You'll never find, because it's true. It's if you open up to it, you'll see it.
That's right.
You'll see it.
And I want to say something about Athena. We only have a few minutes left, but I want to say something to people listening, and you're going to love this story, Athena. I know she loves the story. That working with Athena is definitely about her wisdom and about her, what she says, every sentence has a nugget of gold in it. So it is about hearing what she says, and it is about allowing that to sort of integrate into your brain and into the things you think. However, it's bigger than that. And kind of that's what she was just touching on. People leave after being in here and they say, my God, something just shifted in me. And I'll speak to this because I'm going to speak about a person that didn't really have the capacity to believe much of anything because she was only 10 years old. And Charlotte, my daughter, who has been featured on this podcast talking about her accessory vestibular bones in her feet. There's you should listen to it, Athena. There's Charlotte's one of my guests on the podcast.
Oh my gosh.
But when she was about 9 or 10 years old, she out of nowhere started experiencing extreme separation anxiety. She was trying to go to sleepovers, to her best friends' houses that she had known since she was a baby, trusted families, and she was sort of shaking and crying in the bathroom and calling me at 10 o'clock at night to go get her. And she shares a room with her sister, and when her sister was sleeping out, she would literally have such a panic attack that she had to sleep in her bedroom by herself, that she was sleeping on my floor. And those of you who know me, I am not the mom that says, come sleep on my floor. I have 5 kids. I'm like, go to your own room. I need a minute. And that's just not, you know, I give full respect to anyone who has a philosophy of a family bed or whatever. It's just that's not for me. And my kids need to give me a minute and go sleep in their own beds. And of course, at the age of 9 or 10, you want your kid to have that kind of confidence to go sleep in their own room. And she truly couldn't. And I'm going to tell you guys straight up, I saw in her that she couldn't. She wasn't being a brat. She wasn't being defiant. She was in abject terror, and she could not go to her own room. Mm. And we talked about getting her a therapist, which, of course, I fully believe in. And she really balked at that. She said, I don't want to go to a therapist. And I said, wait a second, I have an idea. I'm going to bring you to see Athena. And I explained to her what Athena does, which you guys just heard, and she rolled her eyes deep at me. And she said, okay, all right, you're going to bring me there, and what, are we going to talk to the dead people? You know, I mean, she gave me the business, as any good, red-blooded American child will do. And I said, listen, babe, I said, we can't carry on like this. And you don't want to go to a therapist. And you feel like, you know, she used to say, she said, Mom, you're my therapist. I talk to you. And I said, okay. I said, we're going to go to Athena. And we saw Athena twice. The first time Charlotte was not ready to lay on the table. And so we just did some angel cards and talked about, you know, her personality and maybe some of her anxieties. And then we came back one more time, and this time she laid on Athena's table. And I'm going to tell you, on its face, it wasn't such a powerful session. When we left, Charlotte said, oh, I don't know, it was a little uncomfortable, and I kept having to force my eyes closed, and my nose itched, and I was scared to itch it. But Athena put some stones around Charlotte that she was called to put around, and some in her hands, and she took Charlotte on a journey, and I don't even remember the content of it, but it was something, and nor does she, see her face, but it was something that whatever Athena was called to say to her at the moment. And I'm going to tell you guys straight up, I shit you not, the next night after that on the table session, Stella was sleeping out and Charlotte walked into my bedroom at bedtime, and she said with a little bit of bravado, you know, she wasn't totally comfortable, she said, I'm sleeping in my room tonight. And I said, okay. And she walked out, and I said to Tiffany, we'll see her in 5 minutes, you know? And I woke up that next morning, I'll never forget looking at the clock. At 7 in the morning, I go, oh my God, she made it. I literally ran into her room to see if she was alive. Because you have to understand what we had been through with this panic and this fear and this terror. And she came to me later that morning and she said, I'm done. I'm better. She said, Mom, I cannot explain to you, but I'm not scared anymore.
You're going to make me cry.
And I'm just, what I'm saying is that to be open to the fact that this is real, that we have energy stuck in places that we don't even realize, and to be part of an experience where we allow that to move, even if we don't think we're being open at the moment. I don't think Charlotte thought she was being open in the moment, but she was open enough to lay on the table. She was open enough to invite in the moment. And so what I'll say in closing, at least in my piece of closing, and then I'll hand it over to Athena, is if this even sparks a curiosity in you just a little bit, if you are suffering, if you feel stuck, if you feel scared, if you feel hopeless, come to Omega and spend the week with us. You'll be learning my work straight up, obviously, as I teach it with all the nuances, and you will be in the presence of Athena and her work along with other gifted guest instructors and doing this work that you have no idea how it might shift you. And so I invite you, atheist, pragmatist, spiritualist, Christian, Jew, Buddhist, Muslim, I invite you to open yourself to what it could be for you. And then I will say, Athena, any closing words on your part?
Yeah, oh my gosh. I think it's divine that you shared Charlotte's story to close, because for everyone listening, we will be speaking to that child inside of you. Okay, so that child inside of you is afraid of the dark and holding on to something from your past. And it could be recent past, it could be far past, it could be past life, honestly. But the child in you is afraid and holding on, and we will be there to support you and do it in a very gentle way. And real way, very real. We're real people. We our moms, we swear.
Yeah.
Right? So it's not like so far out. It's just we've come here to do this in a really modern way. And that's what I admire the most about us. The work that we're doing, we're really passionate about it. We love it. And we love seeing transformation happening and supporting you in getting to a place where maybe you didn't believe you could be. Just like little Charlotte, you know, getting her to that, being able to sleep alone. And a lot, I didn't know that, actually. I didn't even know that about her.
Yeah.
Like what you just shared moved me to tears. But I knew, she told me other things.
Okay.
Like with the anxiety and whatnot.
Yeah. But,
you know, we're here to do the same for you, because that child inside of you is holding on, and we can just support you in letting go of whatever it is. If it's a recent trauma, like a car accident, don't think that that's any different, you know, a childhood trauma, a relationship with a parent, whatever it is, a sibling, you know, it can be from anything. So we'll be there to help you uncover whatever it is you might not even consciously be aware of and help you free yourself from it.
Awesome. Athena, I love you.
I love you.
This is so great. Thank you for being on the podcast today.
Thanks for having me.
And for all of you guys listening, this has been The Cure for Chronic Pain with Nicole Sachs, LCSW. See you next time. Bye.
Bye.